If you're not there already, find your way to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament of the Bible. About 4 or 5 years after I graduated from the Air Force Academy, I returned to Colorado Springs to attend a reunion of men like me who had been involved with the Navigator ministry at the Air Force Academy over the years. And one of the guys who had had a significant impact for Jesus Christ at the Academy while I was there was a guy named Gary Combs. Gary was a senior when I was a freshman at the Academy. And Gary wasn't able to make that reunion because he was lying in a bed in a hospital down in Texas. Gary had developed a malignant brain tumor, and he was in his final days. And so, since he couldn't come up and join us for that reunion, he sent a tape that had his final words to those of us who knew him. And so, one afternoon at that conference, at that reunion, a number of us got together in a room at the conference center where we were, and we gathered around a little cassette recorder, and we listened to Gary's last words. Gary took some time to briefly explain the situation that he was in and how this had developed, because it had developed really quickly. The tumor came on and grew so quickly there was really nothing that could be done for him medically, and he knew that he didn't have many days left. But after telling us that, Gary went on to tell us how God had still used that experience in a real incredible way to draw him and his wife much closer to the Lord during that time. And he also told us about how the Lord had used that situation to give them opportunities to minister to others. I remember him specifically talking about some doctors and nurses that they had been able to lead to the Lord through that experience, and he asked us to pray specifically for them. But then, finally, he came to the point in the tape where he had to say goodbye. You know, when all this happened to Gary, he was in his late 20s, which by anybody's standards is too young to be facing death. And he talked about that for a minute. But then he went on to his final words to us, and I've never forgotten them. He said to us, "Guys, don't feel sorry for me, because I have known the Lord, and he has used me. What more could a man ask? What more could a man ask?" You know, when I heard Gary say those words, it just narrowed my focus like a laser beam. It just helped me to see what's important in life. I have known the Lord, and he has used me. What more could a man ask? What more could a man ask? This morning, I want to say that I am absolutely convinced that there is no greater privilege in life on this earth, no greater privilege than knowing God and seeing him use your life to accomplish his purposes. Nothing greater than that. Well, we've spent the last 10 weeks getting to know our God a little bit better as we've been in the book of Daniel. This morning, what I'd like to do is take a look at Daniel one time. Just look at Daniel, but specifically, I want to look at why God used him, why he was useful to God. So let's look at Daniel one more time. You know, after spending 10 weeks in this book, I'm assuming that you've got a feel for Daniel. You know him pretty well. And I think one thing you probably know is that God used him in an extraordinary way. You know, if you think about Daniel, just what we've read about him over these 10 previous weeks, this guy accumulated quite a resume. You know, even though he was a captive and a slave, basically, he became a chief advisor to 5 or 6 of the most powerful men in the world during his day. He was an advisor to 5 or 6 kings who ruled that part of the Middle East during his day. And through the positions that Daniel had, God gave Daniel opportunities to be a testimony and to give testimony to God's grace and power to those particular kings. Now, what was it that allowed Daniel to be used by God in that way, in such a powerful way? That's what I'm going to look at here this morning. I want to touch on seven characteristics that I think made Daniel useful to God. So seven things, we're going to cover these rather rapidly, but I think it's good to cover all seven of them just to give you the big picture here and some possible points of application. So let's jump right in. I've listed them on the back of your bulletin if you want to take notes. And let's start with the first one that's listed there. I think the first thing you notice about Daniel when you read this book is that he had an uncompromising lifestyle. And that's one of the reasons he was used by God. Look at chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself." Let's just stop right there for now. What was that all about? What was he talking about there? Well, just that word defile there tips us off to the fact that this had something to do with Daniel's observance of the Jewish dietary laws, the laws that God had given through Moses regarding what Jewish people should and should not eat. Now, we don't know what the particular problem was with the food that the king was serving. It could be that some of the things that the king was serving were on that list of things that they should not eat. It may have been that the way the king prepared his food was contrary to the way the law said that food was supposed to be prepared. Or it could be that some of the things that the king served were sacrificed to the king's gods. But for whatever reason, Daniel decided that he would not eat those things because that was a violation of God's laws. Now, I want you to notice just what it says here. It says, "But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself." Notice that it says defile himself. So this was an issue of Daniel doing something that would actually have an impact on him personally. So it wasn't just breaking some arbitrary law out there, but in so doing, he would defile himself. In other words, make himself unholy. So the issue here for Daniel was an issue of personal holiness. Now, the Bible reminds us over and over again that this issue of our personal holiness and our commitment to being uncompromising in that is a key issue when it comes to God using us. You may remember that this past fall we studied 2 Timothy together here at the church on Sunday mornings. And we looked at 2 Timothy from the standpoint of looking at some of the characteristics of a committed disciple of Jesus Christ. And you may remember that when we studied 2 Timothy chapter 2, we looked at the fact that God is particular about the kind of person that he uses. In particular, see if we can get this thing going here. There we go. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 says this. It says, "Everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Now, in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work." Now, back when we studied this in the fall, I pointed out to you that this analogy where it talks about the gold and silver vessels versus the wood and the earthenware vessels, that Paul used that as an illustration to make the point that God is particular about whom he uses. So when it comes to God using people for his purposes, the thing that he's concerned about is what that person is made of. And in order to be useful to the master, we need to be sanctified or holy people. Now, that's one of the reasons that God used Daniel, because he was a person who was concerned about that kind of thing. He was concerned about his personal holiness. You know, under the circumstances, you can imagine that it would be very easy for Daniel to rationalize these things away. You know, the law says this, but he's a long way from Jerusalem. Basically, he's a captive and a slave. So if the master says, eat this food, what am I supposed to do? The king says, eat this stuff, I'll eat this stuff. I'm a slave. But he didn't do that. Instead, he was more concerned about what God told him to do than he was about what the king told him to do. Now, that decision made Daniel useful to God. And it will be the same way with us as well. You know, I remember it was over 30 years ago, a man that I hardly knew made a passing comment to me, and he said to me, Ray, keep right with God, and he will use you. And I've never forgotten that. And there have been numerous situations over the years when the Lord has brought those words to mind. Ray, keep right with God, and he'll use you. See, when we make an uncompromising commitment to a godly lifestyle, we become people who are useful to the master. Let's look at another thing, a second thing. Secondly, Daniel was used by God because he was available to God. Look at chapter 1, verse 17. It says there, as for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Now, that verse tells us that God had gifted Daniel in some very specific ways. He had wisdom, vision, but also he had the ability to interpret dreams. He had some very special ability in that regard. God had gifted him in that way. As you go on into chapter 2, you see that God gave Daniel an opportunity to use the special gifting which he had. Remember, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that needed interpreting. So God had given Daniel a special gift, and then he gave him an opportunity to use that gift. But Daniel still had to respond to that, and he had to make himself available to use his gift in the opportunity that God had given him. And of course, we saw when we read chapter 2 that he, in fact, did that. So when he found out from the chief bodyguard that all of the wise men in Babylon were going to be executed unless somebody came up with the ability to tell the dream and its interpretation, when Daniel found that out, chapter 2, verse 17, says that he went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, about the matter, in order that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven, and it goes on with his praise right there. So Daniel made himself available to meet that need. Now, I think most of us know that God has also given us gifts or special abilities just like he gave to Daniel. The Apostle Paul reminds us of that in his first letter to the church in Corinth, Greece. And he said this, he said, there are varieties of gifts, the same Spirit, varieties of ministries and the same Lord, varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So there's a reminder there in that verse, that the Holy Spirit works to give us a variety of different abilities to minister to people, a variety of spiritual abilities that we can use to minister to people. Now, my guess is that when you look at what Daniel did, we read about this a number of times, you know, him knowing dreams and being able to give supernatural information, your tendency is to look at yourself and say, God hasn't given me anything like that. And there's a tendency for us to think that we don't have any special abilities from God. If you think that, you're wrong. Just that simple. Because God's desire is for every single one of us to minister to people. God has created every person who comes to Him for the purpose of ministry to somebody, some way, somehow. And for every person that God plans to use, He gives them the gifts that they need to do the ministry that He has created for them to do. And that includes every single one of us here this morning. Now, if you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, and you still think, well God hasn't given me anything special to use to minister, if you think that, let's talk. Because God wants to understand, wants you to understand how He has made you and what He has given you to minister to people when He gives you opportunities. So if this stuff all seems foreign to you, let's talk about that. I want to help you understand that. But secondly, if you do know what I'm talking about, and you do know some of the ways that God has gifted you, if that's you, then I've got a question for you. And the question that I have is, are you available to God to meet the needs that He has gifted you to meet? Are you available to God? See, Daniel saw a need that he was gifted to meet. And he took a step of faith, kind of put himself out on a limb, took a step of faith, asked God to equip him for that, and then he took a step of faith and he met the need. And God used him. And if we want to be used by God, we need to do the same thing. Let's look at a third thing. Third reason that Daniel was used by God was because he had a servant's perspective. Look at chapter 2, verse 25. Now, when Daniel volunteered to interpret this dream, this fellow Arioch, who's mentioned here, who was the king's bodyguard, went to the king and said, I found a man among the exiles from Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king. So the king heard that and brought Daniel in. And so he said to Daniel, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? So that's the question that the king asked Daniel. Now let's take a look at how Daniel answered that question, verse 27. Daniel answered before the king and said, as for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And He has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. Let's drop down then to verse 30, and let's pick it up there. It says, but as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me more than in any other living man, but for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king, and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. Daniel's response here tells us that Daniel understood where he fit into the picture. See, he realized that only God can reveal dreams. He was just the messenger boy. See, he had the attitude of a servant here, the mindset of a servant. And he saw that he was there to serve two people. One was God, and the other was the king. You know, sometimes I think it's easy for us to forget who is serving whom. See, a lot of times we interact with God like we are looking for God to serve us. Obviously, that's backwards. See, God is not there to serve us. We are here to serve Him. And one of the major ways that God wants us to serve Him is by serving people. So in order to be used by God, we need to have the same perspective that Daniel had here. See, that we are here to serve people in order to serve God. Years ago, I memorized a verse of Scripture to help me to remember that, because I so easily forget that. Jesus had a conversation one time with his disciples, and he was trying to teach them about their role. And so he gave a little story about a servant. And he said, you know, when a servant's been out working in the field during the day and he comes in from the hot and sweaty workout in the field, the master doesn't say to him, oh, you've had a hard day. Why don't you come on over here and sit down and have dinner with me? He doesn't do that. Instead, the master says, well, now that you're in here, I'd like you to fix my dinner and take care of me. And then afterwards, you can take care of yourself and fix your dinner. So that's the story Jesus told. And then he gave the disciples a personal application, and here's what he said. He said, so then you also, when you have done all that is commanded you, say, we are unworthy servants. We've only done what was our duty. I think that's the way Daniel saw himself. That's the way he saw his life. He saw himself as a servant. And because of that, he was used by God. Let's look at another one. Fourth reason that Daniel was used by God. I think a fourth thing that you see as you read this book is that Daniel was faithful to his spiritual routines. And because of that, the Lord used him. Let's take a look at these verses. Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house, now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. Daniel 9:3. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fastings, sackcloth, and ashes. And then Daniel 10, verses 2 and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for three entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. Now, what do those verses tell you about Daniel? Sacrifice for what? He made sacrifices, yeah. But what's it tell? What was his routine? What did he do? He prayed, right. He was a man who was serious about prayer, so serious that he was willing to fast and pray and deny himself in order to pray. He was a man of prayer. Spent a lot of time in prayer. Now let's look at these verses. It says, in the first year of Darius, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, the prophet, for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely, 70 years. Daniel 9, verse 10, nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings, which he set before us through his servants, the prophets. And then Daniel 9:13 says, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us. What do those verses tell you about his habits? Dedication. Yeah, he spent time in the Scriptures. See, we often think that these Old Testament guys never read the Bible. They just wrote it. But he spent time in the Bible. He read the prophet Jeremiah, the other prophets, Moses. And not only did he read them, he also thought about how they applied to his life, and he saw his own current situation through the lens of the Scriptures. So one of the things that you see here about Daniel was that he spent lots of time in prayer and lots of time in the Word and he was committed to those things. Those were two of his regular routines, time in the scriptures, time in prayer. Now, I have heard a number of significant Christian leaders say over the years that they have never known a man or woman who was greatly used by God who did not spend serious time in God's word and in prayer. And I think my almost 40 years of walking with the Lord has confirmed that. I think I can say along with them that I have never seen a person who was greatly used by God who did not spend significant time studying and reading God's word and spending time in prayer. You know, for most people I know, establishing and keeping those routines of the word and prayer is a battle. My guess is that's the way it is for you. That's the way it is for me. For me, it's just as much a battle today as it was years and years ago when I started this thing. Some of you may not be. But for most people I know, just getting time in the word and in prayer on a daily basis is a battle. I just want to encourage you, don't give up the fight. Just keep battling. Because time in the word, time in prayer is essential to you being used by God. Fight for your routines. Stay in the battle. Well, quickly, I've got three more that I want to cover. Let me run through those. Fifth characteristic I noticed that allowed Daniel to be used by God was courage. Remember in chapter 5, when Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall and he called Daniel in to read interpret the handwriting to him? And of course, that was a message of judgment. And Daniel didn't shrink back from giving that message to the king. I love the way that when he walks in there, the king said, interpret the message and I'll give you all this stuff. And what Daniel say? Keep your stuff. I don't need any of your stuff. It's kind of in your face to a king. And then he goes on and he gives him a message that basically says, you're going to be destroyed. Or the passage that we just read in passing a couple of minutes ago, when another king made a decree that anybody who prayed to anybody other than him was going to get thrown in the lion's den. And when Daniel found that out, what did he do? He just kept on praying, just like he did before. Courage. He had the courage to stand up for what was right, even when it threatened his life. And again, the Bible makes it clear that we need to be such people as well. Paul says in Galatians, am I seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. That's courage. Or the psalmist says, the Lord's for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That's courage. God uses people who think like that. Next thing I want to mention is compassion. Compassion for lost people. You know, that's one of the things that you pick up when you read Daniel, is that even though he was a slave in another person's culture and country, you sense that he loved these people. Even in chapter 2, when all the rest of the folks were threatened to die, it says that Daniel didn't want to see all these guys die. You know, in a sense, you can understand him wanting to preserve the life of him and his friends, but he was also concerned for all the other wise men in Babylon. Likewise, when you read chapter 4, when it talks about giving the message to King Nebuchadnezzar, that's the one where Nebuchadnezzar got the vision about being cast out into the woods and having to crawl around like an animal and all that kind of stuff, and he is giving the interpretation. Well, when Daniel finally starts revealing the interpretation to this dream, you see that he gets choked up over that. And emotionally, it bothers him that the king Nebuchadnezzar is going to have to go through this. So Daniel's not thinking, yeah, pagan king serves him right. He really loved this guy. And that's one of the things that you see here. That he's got compassion for these folks. You know, in Matthew chapter 9, it says that when Jesus was looking out over the multitudes, it says that he felt compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I think that's the way that Daniel looked at people. And that's the way that we need to look at lost people as well. The last characteristic I want to point out this morning, I think it's highlighted pretty well in one verse in Daniel chapter 2, verse 14. Take a look at that. It says, then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. See, it says there that Daniel replied with discretion and discernment. You know, back in chapter 1, verse 17, we saw a little bit earlier that God had given Daniel knowledge, intelligence, and wisdom. In chapter 2, verse 14 that we just read, it tells us that he used what God gave him. And he responded with discretion and discernment. You know, one of the things you see when you read through Daniel is that Daniel did not say and do dumb things. He used his head when he interacted with all these various people. You know, I think that's important for us as well. We need to be careful as we're living the Christian life, and especially as we live it before non-believers, that we don't say and do dumb things. Apostle Paul wrote this to the Colossians. He said, conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. See, that's what you see in Daniel, is this kind of perspective. See, even in chapter 1, when he had decided that he was going to take a stand based on the Jewish dietary laws of all things, even when he decided to take a stand on that, Daniel did not come across as kind of a religious crackpot. Instead, what he did was he presented a well-reasoned plan to this person, and he appealed to him in a gracious way. And again, I think that's an example for us to follow. You know, over the years, I've noticed that a lot of Christians who think that they are being fools for Christ in the way that they do things or in the way that they say things, a lot of people who think they are being fools for Christ are not being fools for Christ as much as they're just being foolish. See, we need to use our heads, and we need discernment and discretion when we relate to anybody, but especially to people who don't know the Lord. And I think that's important to God using us. That's Daniel. 10 weeks on God, 1 week on Daniel. He was used by God because he had an uncompromising lifestyle. He was used by God because he was available to God. He was used by God because he had a servant's perspective, was faithful to spiritual disciplines, showed courage even when his life was at risk, had compassion for lost people, and he related to people with discernment and discretion. That's the kind of person that God uses. Would you like to be that kind of person? Well, you know, the fact is, you can. I've got an incredible promise to leave with you this week to think about. John wrote this. He says, and this is the confidence which we have before him, before God. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. In other words, it says, if you pray according to God's will, he will answer your prayers. Now think about this with me for a minute. Do you think it's God's will for you to live an uncompromising lifestyle? I do. Do you think it's God's will for you to be available to him? Do you think it's God's will to have a servant perspective like Jesus did? Do you think it's God's will to be faithful to spiritual disciplines? Do you think it's God's will to live with courage, even when your life is at risk? Do you think it's God's will to have compassion for lost people? Do you think it's God's will to relate to people with discernment and discretion? What do you think? Is that God's will? I think it is. So, why don't we ask Him to make us that way? This morning, I've given you 7 characteristics. Last I checked, we have 7 days ahead of us before we meet again. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. Every day, take one of those things and pray. And ask God to begin to build that more deeply into your life. Next day, take the second thing on your list. Again, if you didn't write all these things down, they're in your bulletin. And pray. Begin to pray those things. And then maybe after this week, you might do it again next week. And the week after that. Who knows? God may even answer your prayers. Let's pray. Father, we've just spent a brief time this morning reading about a man who you honored greatly. Think of the words that the angel gave to him when he spoke to him. Daniel, man of high esteem. Or I think of in Ezekiel how you honored Daniel by putting him on a par with Noah and with Job as far as his righteousness. And Lord, we just want to say here this morning that we would like to be such a person as him. Father, would you please do that? Would you do the work in our lives that would allow us to be like what we've read about here today? I know for most of us, Lord, even as I say these words, we think that that's a dream. But Lord, we want to latch onto your promise here. We know that being this kind of person is your will. And we would like to ask you here this morning and in the days to come to make it so. Thank you, Lord. Amen.